something went on here, something went on there.
This time on TNT.
Our all-time favorite Canadian kids' TV shows.
Our top five Canadianity resort jams.
And how it cost me $3,500 to not have lunch with Margaret Atwood. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Cocktail, please.
Hey, bud.
How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. It's nice and sunny here, but chilly. How are you, Jonathan?
Nice and sunny, but chilly here too, bud. Happy week to you.
Happy week to you.
It's nice to hear your voice, bud.
It's nice to hear your voice, bud. But can we tell the people that you're going to be going to Sunnier Climes today?
I am. I'm going to Sunnier Climes, which is pretty Canadian in and of itself.
Yes.
We're going to Florida.
Very Florida. Where in Florida?
Orlando.
Perfect.
With a side salad of Cocoa Beach.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's potentially some days colder there than it is here in Nova Scotia.
Also, yeah, let's hope it's not like last year's trip down south.
When you know? You
the Norwalk cruise.
Yeah, the Norwalk of life. That was
that was pretty much this time last year.
It was pretty much. Yeah, it was in January last year. Crazy.
That
means we've been doing this for a year.
Yes, that would have been the Torrens winter vacation, right? Is this it? Do you go again in the March break? Are you going anywhere?
I'm not sure, because we're about to start writing Trailer Park Season 10.
Yeah.
And so probably can't stray too far. What about you guys? Are you guys snowbirds?
We've yet to do like the full-on everybody get in the plane and fly somewhere south. Like the kids are just getting to that age at 8, 7, and 4 that we can kind of do that as a family without madness. So
right. We're
thinking of maybe going down to Cali in for March break.
Sick.
To do a little universally Disney World-esque experiences.
Just ship them down. Don't buy plane tickets for them. You can ship them down FedEx.
Remember those old shows where the kid would just like get on a train by himself for like 18 hours and 3 stopovers?
Old shows. Nice. I think I did that as a kid. My sister and I flew to England when I was 6, and I had to wear a humiliating bib that said UM, unaccompanied minor, which might as well have been like perv alert, right? Hey, pervs, this child is solo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I always took it off, and the flight attendant, or stewardesses, as they were called in those days, would say, you have to put that back on, bud.
Oh, man.
But even my 6-year-old self was like, this doesn't feel safe advertising that I am without my parents.
Yeah. See, me, I never went on trips as a kid, ever.
You must have gone on car trips.
Well, like when I was playing baseball and stuff, going to the weekend tournaments, that was about it for travel. No, like, vacays.
Those are pretty fun, though.
Camping once, I think.
Yeah.
My brother James had like some kind of a heat stroke or something, so he said he was like punching at like bugs attacking him. He was having like hallucinations in his tent. Hmm. Kind of put a damper on the day.
Ah, family time.
Taggart family trips.
My dad was prone to Ronnie-style outbursts when he felt hard done by. Like, go to the grocery store and buy 200 bucks worth of groceries, which is a lot in the 70s. And it was because we were going on a family camping trip. And when he'd say, do you have boxes to put those in? And they would say, like, no, we just burned them or whatever. He'd say, well, then I'm not taking these groceries and walk out. Like, things that set the family back for the
point. He'd leave it all there.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was that guy.
Just burning.
But it was a different time. He was also this guy. My best friend Mark Hallett and I used to walk up over the hill to get to preschool. And these bullies would walk up over the hill past us to get from where they lived over to the elementary school. And my dad, Pat, parked on a side street, watched for the bullies to come harass us, came around the corner on two wheels, put them in the car, and took them right to the principal's office. Imagine nice trying move. To do that stuff nowadays.
I remember one time I got
like fight. Rothman's king size hanging from his mouth, chucking Classic. Kids in the car.
That's a tough, that's solid parenting. One time I was in a literal, like, a fight with a kid in, I think it was, like, Cookstown in, like, 1987 or something. These bullies, I'd had it, so I was fighting this guy. And there was, like, a crowd around, and all of a sudden I hear my mom cheering me on. She's, like, watching the fight. She's like, get him, Jared, come on! I'm like, this is classic. Supportive role. She knew that I was trying to do my thing, and I think it affected them because they're like, well, why is his mom not stopping it? And like, she's into it, like he's gonna, like I'm confident in my ability, so that kind of helped me win the fight.
Do you have
solid parenting?
Do you have any friends who, for lack of a better term, are liars?
Oh, well, if I do, they're not friends anymore.
It is a deal breaker. There's a guy that I really like. He's a good dude. I really enjoy spending time with him. And he'll start telling a story, and you think, oh, that's far-fetched but remotely possible. And then there's a TSN turning point in the story where you're like, "That okay, you are lying." Which puts you in a really uncomfortable position because you either that have to.
You gotta give me an example of one of these stories.
Okay, so here's one. This is a story as told by him. I will also interject as me.
Perfect.
Unless you want to play me.
I think I can play you.
Okay, you play me. But you're gonna have to take your voice up like a full octave.
Okay.
Hi. Okay, so this is the story as told by my friend. Okay. You know, I was raised by my grandmother. And,
oh, yeah?
And she was a big boxing fan. So she told me that, you know, it's good to punch with your right, but you got to keep your left up. You got to keep your left up and block your face.
Okay.
So one day I was, after school, I was in a fight. And all the kids gathered around, and this guy was way bigger than me. And I remembered what my grandmother said. She said, keep up your left hand and punch with your right.
Okay.
So he punched, and I blocked it with my left hand because it was up in front of my face. And I just closed my eyes and punched as hard as I could with my right hand, and I knocked him out.
Yeah, really?
And then I sprinted home as fast as I could, and ran in the door and burst up the stairs to say, Granny, guess what? I remembered to put my left hand in front of my face, and then I just saw her feet sticking out from under the dining room table. And I went over and was like, Nanny, I kept my left hand up. And she was dead.
Oh, man, really? Come on, like you just went all of a sudden to like no possible truth, Phil.
Well, I think I remember thinking,
were you not being, maybe you weren't selling on the story enough for him responsively, so he needed some kind of a pick-me-up to get you interested.
Well, I remember thinking that is so similar to a Ricky Schroeder movie that I saw. Like, I think I saw that movie. Isn't that The Champ?
No.
Isn't that what happens in The God. Champ? So, as the lie E...
I remember now, it's all... I'm like, oh yeah.
You're in a weird position as the lie E, because either you don't say anything and he thinks you're really gullible.
Yeah.
Or you do bust him on it and it hits a sour note and he's like, dude, I'm telling you about my grandmother's death. What's wrong with you?
But sociopath.
No matter which way you slice it, like either I look incredibly insensitive because I'm like, oh yeah, in my way through the story about how his grandmother died. It's a weird one.
I remember, yeah, there was always like a kid in my class used to say he was just some stupid, this was up in like Shelburne, a white kid said he was cousins with Michael Jackson, but we couldn't see the pictures because Michael doesn't want you to see them. How about that kid?
What do you even do with that?
you just go like whatever salad and just move on. Because if that's how it starts with the guy, you know what I mean?
Like, right,
that's
where's it going?
You know that, where he'd go.
That was kind of how I felt with my friend. Like I say, on paper, so funny and really fun to be around and all that stuff. But that is kind of a deal breaker. The first quality I look for in a friend is the right to ditch. But if you say we should maybe go to a movie next Thursday, and then Thursday comes and the friend's like, hey, remember we're going to that movie tonight? And you say, oh, honestly, I completely forgot. Can we just do it another time? I want my friend to say, no problem, of course.
Yeah.
I don't want the friend to be like, oh, sure. Let me see if I can uncancel all the plans that I was offered for tonight. Like, that's done.
No. And I've touched upon that before, where just the concept exactly of those people that you meet and they're like, can we do that thing like we promised?
Oh.
Can we go to that restaurant like we promised?
RTD, man, right to ditch.
Yikes. That's like beyond when it's like, oh, your time. I want my hour and a half back that I prepared for this.
Yeah. I prepared to go to a movie. See, here's what I'm guilty of. If we're putting it all on the table, here's what I'm guilty of. If I bumped into you and I'm genuinely happy to see you, I would probably throw out the suggestion that we make plans as a way to back out of the conversation. And then sometimes that catches up with me. Like, Jared, it's so good to see you, man. I got a jet, but man, lunch. We should have lunch. Like, yeah, sure. When works for you? I don't know. Tuesday? Because Tuesday seems so far ahead in the big picture, and then suddenly it's Tuesday and the people want to have lunch, and it's my own fault.
Yeah.
Like, to try to make it better, I make the wound a little bigger.
That's why it's good to live in a small town.
That's why we don't have a doorbell. That's why we do have basement drills when we see cars coming up the road, just in case people are coming to our home.
Basement drills.
Kids, I remember that. Everybody in the basement.
Yeah, that's a Taggart classic too. Just like, don't answer the door.
Yeah, everybody still. Everybody down.
I remember also, like, in the summertime, one summer, and it's always a different place, but I lived in Ferguson Vale, which is not too far from Elmvale, Ontario. And I was at wood shop in school. And I didn't spend the $2 to make the birdhouse or whatever in the wood shop. But this teacher, I am not shitting you, would come to my house every week in the summer, like on a Wednesday. I'd see him drive in and like start knocking on the door in the summertime.
Why?
He came like to get the $2.
Oh, man. My gosh.
Yeah. And he came about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And I just would hide. Can you believe that? Like $2.
So that dude was like, no, it's the principle of the thing. This young man needs to learn a lesson.
Yes, absolutely.
I know it's just $2, but it's not about the fact that it's $2. It's about the fact that he hasn't done what he was supposed to.
I taught you about the damn acetylene torch. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't know the A before O or up you go.
Wait, what is that?
The acetylene before oxygen. Or explosion, or up you go.
Oh, no. Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. He was the same teacher that took all of the people in the class, and he said, you are going to get hurt this year. You will be cut. You will have cuts. You will be hurt. Everybody in this room will get hurt by this stuff. Just giving you all the worst case scenarios.
I kind of love
that. It's like someone like smashed their thumb in the air with a hammer. He's like, see, there it is right there.
You're next. Dishes.
Don't laugh. You're next.
Your head might get lopped off by a piece of sheet metal.
I'm sure this guy had seen the worst, right? He'd been like working there for like 40 years or something. So it was all nothing. He'd probably seen hands sawn
off.
Where's
my visor? Never mind.
People blowing up the place.
Fire it up. Fire it up. Sir, how do I hold the fire it up? Did you ever make throwing stars?
Like, oh, yeah. No, everybody tried, and that was a big, big band. Everyone was not allowed. This guy was all over it. He knew what everyone was doing at all times.
Right. You're not making salt and pepper shakers. You're trying to make nunchucks, and you can't.
Everybody tries to make nunchucks. So ridiculous. And then they make them, and it's a huge deal because they get confiscated, and it goes around the school that someone had real nunchucks. And then that guy gets a girlfriend.
Because he had nunchucks?
Because he's a bad boy, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You could tell the bad dudes at our school because they were the ones that walked with their girlfriends and everybody had their hands in each other's back pocket.
Yeah.
They were the bad ones.
Yeah,
and the really bad ones at the dances, they slow danced with one hand in their pocket and the other hand on the small of their lady's back. Yeah. Like one hand in their pocket. I don't even care enough about this dance to two-hand it.
This is how cool I am.
It's one that
I
could.
I only need the memory of one hand, but check out where it is, y'all.
Yeah, they would sacrifice, like, the one hand was lower than would normally be safe. Unlike Camp Getty Bible Camp, where they used to stick a Bible between us to make sure we were regulation Bible width apart when we were slow dancing.
Wow.
Hey, we have a lot to get to on the show today, bud.
We should do a camp episode at one time later in TNT.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to. What do you think we should do? Should we throw it a break here and then start up with possibly the top five resort jams, Canadianity style?
And we're going to get to our favorite kid shows, Kidnadianity.
Actually, yes.
Canadian kid shows. And we still have our Bite of the Week to come. Lots more on the way on this 26th episode of TNT. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Come back, will you?
Hello.
Welcome back to Taggart and Torrance. So, I'm not a liar, but my mouth does get me in trouble sometimes. And this Canadianity story occurred to me in the last couple of days. And I was like, you know what I must do? I must tell my friend Jeremy Taggart and the people this story because it's so ridiculous.
Let's hear it.
A few years ago, I went to a benefit for Walrus Magazine. You with me?
Yes, Canadian magazine.
Canadian magazine. Some would say kind of hoity-toity.
Yes.
It was one of those, like, someone had an extra ticket, I was in town, so I went.
Okay.
Not my room. Like I was saying about the Gemini Awards or the Canadian Screen Awards, I get a little uncomfortable in these environments.
Yeah.
Some Conrad Blackses, like folks in a bow tie, but they mean it. Like, it's that.
Yeah.
And this thing was a fundraiser for this magazine that some would suggest caters to a wealthy, educated readership already. So they had an auction where your Bill Clintons and your Archbishop Desmond Tutus wrote, I forget, Good Advice for Peace of Life or something, put it in a bottle, like a wine bottle, and these bottles were up for auction.
Okay.
There was one live auction item that night, and it was Margaret Atwood had written three predictions for the future on pieces of paper, put it in a bottle, and that was going to be auctioned off.
Okay.
Sheila Rogers from CBC Radio was the auctioneer, and because it was a big, unwieldy, L-shaped room, she asked me to come up and Albert Schultz, member from Street Legal, to be the spotters, like the hup, hup, as hands went up in the room.
Okay.
So this bottle with three predictions for the future, handwritten by Margaret Atwood, who's sitting beside the stage, quickly gets up to $6,000.
Yowza.
Yowza. So it's $6,000, anybody 65, 65, 62, anybody 6,100, 62, whatever. Margaret Atwood beside the stage says, for $7,000, I'll have lunch with the person.
Come on.
Nobody hops on it. Okay. So I whisper to Albert behind Sheila, for $7,000, we should go halfers and take Margaret Atwood to Subway, because that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Albert says, too rich for my blood, man. Sheila says, Jonathan will split for $7,000, split it with somebody. Rebecca Eckler, this girl who works at the National Post in the front row, puts her hand up and says, I'll split it for $7,000. Sold for $7,000.
You did it.
Completely unintentionally, I was on the hook for $3,500.
Yeah, this is the whole truck it issue all over again, except you made it up yourself.
I know, it was my own fault. I boomer screwed myself. So this Rebecca Eckler, who doesn't work at the Post anymore, but she's a good journalist, comes up and says, you know, I read a lot of Margaret Atwood when I was pregnant, like read it out loud to my baby. So I'd really like to have the predictions for the future. I was like, well, sure, you can have those. She said, you can have the crystal decanter and you can take Atwood to lunch. I was like, I don't want to take Atwood to lunch. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was funny. Yeah. Stuck, $3,500 I spent. I still don't have the crystal decanter. I didn't take Margaret Atwood to lunch. My big mouth got me in big trouble.
Wow, that is a yes.
That's dumb.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good for charity, but dumb for the thoughts of realization, the fact that you're not exactly on Miami Vice in 1983.
Hell no. And yeah. If I'm being honest with you, there are probably, if I was going to give away $3,500, there are probably other places I might opt to do that. Yeah. But it was like an idiot tax that I had to pay once in my life, and I will never do it again.
I just want to see this lunch and what that's like, if it's ever going to happen.
Oh, man. No, well, it never has. And again, it's my own darn fault, but I did learn a good lesson that day about keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
Has your mouth ever gotten you into trouble, bud?
Many times, I'm sure. But I can't think of anything like that where it's cost me a bunch of money. Well, I did get
so stupid.
Yeah, I've been rooked a few times by people. Like one of those guys who sells fake speakers. I was actually that stupid once to buy a set of fake speakers off of someone.
Oh my gosh. I would consider myself an average, a person of average intelligence. I was getting out of my truck on Spadina Road one night in February. And this guy was right all up in my Baba Ganoush. Hey, man, listen, our car's around the corner. It broke down. I'm here at a charity soccer game playing at U of T Stadium on Saturday. Just come around the corner, see the car. I need this, and I need $20 when I'm a show truck, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, all I want you to do is get out of my face. What's the shortest way to make that happen? So I gave him $80. And he's like, he asked for $20. I overshot the landing. I was like, well, I only have $80 in my wallet, but you're welcome to it. So I gave him $80.
Wow, that's weird.
Hefty move, I know. And he says, you know, I'm so thankful. What I'll do is I'll leave tickets at the box office at U of T Stadium for this soccer game we're playing on Saturday. And I was like, well, thank you. That's really nice. And I go into my friend's place, and my friend says, oh, yeah, so tickets to this game on Saturday? Yeah, at the outdoor U of T soccer stadium in February? Like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you were just like trying to get out of the sure, bud.
But it's like when you see a mouse, bud. If someone said, take a breath, look over there in the corner, there's a little mouse, you wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
But they're little terrorists that just jump out and they're all up in your face.
Yeah, no, we've all been, you never, sometimes you take, you think somebody is okay and not a total asshole, and that's the thing too, like we have a little too much trust sometimes with other people.
And I guess ultimately I'd rather be the kind of person who goes about their life in the world being trusting and a little naive as opposed to a hardened skeptic.
Well, we all
sometimes
grew up with,
bites you on the R spot,
and we grew up with great kids shows to make us able-bodied Canadianity people.
Yeah, we did.
Let's talk about kids shows in Canada.
You know, I've ingested a whole bunch. I've even worked on a few. And I do have a very soft spot in my heart for kids' Canadian shows.
Love how there's some ridiculously odd regional ones because of the power of public TV, like TV Ontario. There was a slew of ones that probably you haven't heard about, no different than ones in Alberta or ones that are out east, or even CBC independent stations created. It's there's all kinds of crazy ones. So let's just kind of delve into a few of the classics.
Hit me.
And then maybe get into some of the little harder, weirder ones.
Are you going to start with a classic?
I'm going to start with a classic right here. And I'm sure we all know this one.
The polka dot door, the polka dot door.
Yeah.
The polka dot door.
That's right.
Songs and stories and
so much more, Jonathan.
Through the polka dot door.
Gotta get the juice harp in there to get the kids going, eh?
We always say, get ready, set for
it's a nice
animal
tune.
Day.
It's animal day, too.
That's my favorite day.
And play.
Yeah.
Come in. The polka dot way.
Nice little vibrato at the end. Was Polka Dot Door the one where they looked through the thing? No, that was Romper Room.
No, I do believe. Well, they look through something.
Where did they look through the handheld mirror and say, "I see Jeremy"?
Well, that was Romper Room. Yeah, that was Romper Room. But I do believe Polka Dot Door would throw out the odd thanks to kids. I can't remember 100%, but boy, that was a strong
classic
theme in the Taggart household as a kid.
The Polka Dot Door.
You got one, bud?
Yeah, take a listen to this. Yeah. Not since Zamfir has the pan flute so captivated an entire generation.
Oh. Beautiful. The friendly giant.
Yeah. Props guy I know at CBC has the original couch for two to curl up in on his mantle.
No
that
way.
Is Canadianity.
Oh, that's heavy duty.
Bob Domi.
My dad's drum teacher, Howie Ray, was the drummer on that show.
Not
that's
on his track.
Canadianity. No, but whenever they had music on it, because they had a band and they'd like or play, there would be music in the show. And my dad's drum teacher, Howie Ray, was the guy who did the drumming.
Wow. I wonder, like, was that a good gig for a drummer at the time? Probably.
Probably just a solid union deal. Yeah, you come in and out. Probably a one-time buyout.
Get some scale. Away you go.
Yeah. That's a great show.
It does make you feel good deep inside, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, they didn't really do much on the show. It would really be slow-paced in what they were working on and talking about.
So slow. And did you know that the same puppeteer played Rusty and Jerome?
For sure, eh?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, they just spooned the tree.
Let's move on to a more rural Ontario classic. I believe this was put together by CHEX TV Channel 12 in Peterborough. Jay and Dan O'Toole's stomping grounds. This is what he grew up on.
Yeah,
I'm sure they've probably talked about this show on their wonderful podcast. But let's take a look at the beginning here of the Silver Basketball.
What?
It's more what they talked about. Listen to the creepiness. This guy's throwing a basketball. Here come some kids.
Hi, kids.
Why are you doing today?
Today, we're going to do something really special.
Yay!
Zooms in on the silver basketball. Now they're going into a hut, Jonathan.
Come on.
All these kids went into a hut. And there's a guy already working out in this hut in the middle of the woods.
He's going to start running soon.
All right.
Does anyone give that a try?
The ball was just there, now it's not. Now it's just two guys in a hut with some kids in the middle of the woods doing made-up exercises.
I call these sides dry jumps.
Okay.
It really gets you moving and all warmed up and everything.
Oh, right into the wall you're so warmed up.
Right into the wall you're so warmed up because he fell into the wall.
Like a jumping jack.
Do we have time to do that one again? I fell into the wall.
You can always use your arms for this one. Put your arms up like this when you do it.
Now they're doing jump jacks, kind of.
Some people can't do it.
They don't want to break the hut.
Well, make sure at home, if you're doing this at home, don't be around anything that you can break.
Right.
Okay.
Don't be around anything you can break.
Okay.
So he's tired now.
Oh, my legs.
Maybe do this?
Don't they? Yeah. The muscles, just really.
And you can start back up again with your feet.
The muscles, just really. This is obviously a scripted show, eh?
Nice beat going.
Okay, pretend you're going into a network to pitch this show. How do you describe
it? Hockey?
Well, how do you describe it without getting arrested?
Pitching. Don't you play hockey?
I want to take some kids into a hut and then just kind of make up exercises as we go along.
Okay, welcome aboard. Although maybe Kitchener wasn't a hotbed.
I don't know, man. Maybe you have to ask Toolsy if he knows who these guys
were.
I'm sure
he would know.
But I'm sure they probably ended up in sports.
All right. I don't think you might know this one. I certainly remember it. I believe it was shot in Ottawa. Take a listen.
Do you ever wonder what could happen under an umbrella tree?
Oh, I remember that.
Sunny days of thunder, your
friends are waiting under the Glory, tree. Iggy, so come on, everybody, Jacob, and then there's a lady, Holly. I think the last note's really high. Here comes, listen. Find an invitation under the
umbrella tree. Ooh.
It's a high note for a dude to hit.
Really gets up there at the end there.
Do you remember that show?
A little bit. I don't know if I watched it.
Do you remember the show Shanty Town? Or was that an East Coast thing? Do you?
I think I remember that, yeah. Do you remember the Forest Rangers? That was a classic.
That was a great one. Do you remember Great Space Coaster?
Yes.
Gary Gnu and the Gnus? I don't think that was Canadian, but it was great.
That big comfy couch girl apparently got banged up once and did that clock dance at like some function, and
that sentence didn't go over so well. So many questions.
Yeah, doing the clock dance all banged up.
The big comfy couch girl, which one?
The clown girl. Oh yeah, they did. There was a few. Maybe that's why the first one was replaced, eh, bud?
Yeah.
There we go. Let's not talk about it. We could get sued.
You got some Fred Penners's.
Yes.
That was good Canadianity.
Yes. Yeah. Sharon, Lois, and Bram, of course.
Yeah.
Here's one for you that you might not know.
Okay, hit me. This
is Harry. Irish dude dressed up like a leprechaun and small. H-A-R-R-I-G-A-N.
I don't know this.
So may we invite you to stay for a while? Some good friends are with us, and surely they'll smile.
Some nice screen effects. Here he comes out to chat. And he's actually got a blindstone.
Good day, Devlin.
Come on.
Hello, little friend.
Yeah, listen.
Nice to see ya.
Nice to see ya.
You look terrific today, don't they?
Yes, they sure do, Harry.
Sure, and they're going to feel a lot better, too, when you tell us who is visiting us.
Champ is here today.
Champ?
With his guitar.
Ooh, I love Champ.
And Maureen's here.
And Maureen's going to do what?
She's going to make a bouquet of veggies.
A bouquet?
Aww. And he was Maureen. Eating. He was making a bouquet.
Yes, and Miss Sunflower is on the way.
Here comes a guy on a unicycle. The male lady's on a unicycycle.
What?
Male car.
Oh,
things are picking up a minute in, eh? She's going ape on that unicycle, and she's dressed like a flower.
Oh, yes it is. How are you feeling, Miss Sunflower?
And we obviously have someone rocking the clarinet, just freelance in the background. Beautiful show, Harrigan.
What do you guys want me to do? Just lay down some freestyle, and we'll just figure out where it goes.
Yeah, just swing it up on that. Give me some Goodman, baby.
We were thinking we'd like a trumpet. We can't really afford a trumpet. Okay.
Can't afford it. How about my old uncle's cornet?
Sure, that sounds great.
Can you get
it's just bone dry
now. Something out of that.
It's like wallpaper. We just need anything. Okay, listen to this one. This show starred a young Canadian host who would go on to be quite a successful actor in the United States of America. She's now wife to a certain hockey-playing pylon that Toronto fans love to dislike. Take a listen.
Oh, I think I got this one. That would be the Popular Mechanics for Kids, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the show?
Yeah.
It's a little bit, I was a little old for this.
Yeah,
I don't
too.
Know. I didn't really watch it, but it was big with the generation after us.
And the theme song isn't exactly banging. But I remember when Alicia Cuthbert went from being the host of Popular Mechanics for Kids to suddenly she was in, was it The Girl Next Door?
That was the big movie and what put her in the magazines.
Yeah. Your Maxims and what have you. But she was also in, was it Love Actually, where she played like the American easy lady? that the British dude came over and she had a couple of friends, and suddenly he was like, "You won't believe what America's like, yeah?"
That's it. I haven't seen it, but that sounds pretty correct to the description.
And then she suggested that he get down with she and her two friends, and all he could say was, "Thanks!"
Oh no, another one of those guys? Yeah. Everything was just, "Oh really? Is that what's going to happen then, love? Thanks then!
Do you want me to go to Shaggy Spears?" Cockney rhyming slang.
"You're going to accept me as I am?" He'd always say something like that. Mm-hmm. "I'm well hot."
Or his aunt calls from England. "How's it going in America, Harold?" "Oh, auntie, you won't believe it."
Oh, yeah, that's like when you hear Adele talk.
Yeah.
Or he's, "Oh, you won't believe it."
She's trying to kiss his neck and he's talking to his nan on the telephone. "Nan, it's all right. You know, hang on. I'm on the phone. Don't do that." "Nan, how's Grumpy? Don't stop that. Stop that.
You won't accept me as I am? Well, fuck off then."
"Thanks. Thanks, yeah?
You don't like what I do then?"
I love that discussion about Alicia Cuthbert's
turns into like
Popular Mechanics,
the Who begins. Having a fight at like beatdowns,
right.
And
right. Yeah. "Pete, what? I just asked where the salt is." "Well, I don't like salt." "Sorry, mate. Look, let's start again."
"Take a right and all the song, see?"
"Oh, thanks." Do the most sarcastic.
"Accept the money now." Oh, this is getting out of hand.
What's the most sarcastic thanks you can do?
"Thanks." Isn't that it? Yeah. For sure.
Tell me you really like the song that I just released and I don't like it.
Okay.
Or "I don't care about your opinion." That's it. Tell me you like the song I just released, but I don't even care about your opinion. Here it comes.
tell you that?
Yeah.
In that same, the Pete Townsend voice?
Yeah, say, "I really like the song you just released."
"I really like the song you just released."
"Oh, thanks."
"It's top.
It's top shelf." "It's top shelf." All right, let's take a break and come back. We'll come back with Butt of the Week, and I want to share a song called "Fat Back" by a local nice. East Coast rapper. It's a love song about a posterior, but the story behind the video itself is something that will change your life. We'll take a break on TNT, and this episode will continue right after these words from Nobody.
Where's my beer chair?
And we're back. Hello, Jonathan.
Jeremy Taggart, how are you, bud?
I'm fantastic. Do we have a bot of the week?
Hey, listen to this.
Oh.
What song's that?
Mr. Dress-Up?
Yeah, bot.
Yeah,
there
very
it is,
nice.
Bot.
Yeah, nice.
I got to travel with that dude. I think I've said on the show before, and he was such a gentleman. Really cool guy.
Mr. Ernie Coombs, the great.
The great. And
late.
And maybe, goes without saying, the greatest.
For sure.
I think it's uncontested. The greatest Canadian kids show of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Mr. Dress Up.
That's the one that sure. Everybody just goes, well, yeah, formative, amazing.
To the point of like the fact that we didn't put it in there because it's just so big.
It was on the nose, yeah.
And we should have done it. And I love the fact that you put it into acoustic guitar form,
there
which
go,
is
bud.
Very nice.
Thanks, bud.
Sneaky chords and everything.
Thanks, bud. Hey,
give yourself a pat on the back.
Oh, if only my arms were that long.
Yeah.
Butt of the week. So was it last week or 2 weeks ago that we talked about what the soundtrack would be? It must have been 2 weeks ago.
It was last week, or in the world of the podcast, it was the last episode.
Was it?
I believe it was.
See, I thought last week was the 25th episode where we talked about the definition of Canadianity. It was the 24th that we talked about what the soundtrack would be for a TNT movie.
Oh, no, yeah. So I thought you were talking about the soundtrack of The Resort. Sorry.
Oh.
Which was last week. Yes. Right. My error.
Not at all. So we came up with a list of songs that would be on the TNT movie soundtrack if we were to ever make a TNT movie. And
yes.
I recorded, just as we were talking, kind of the voiceover for a movie trailer to Spirit of the West's End of Venice is Sinking.
Yes, you threw the bumper. It was beautiful.
Daniel
it
was just McDonald. On the fly.
On the fly bumper was fantastic. Sorry.
Daniel McDonald, listener and bud, cut together an actual trailer for the TNT movie. I think he's a graphic artist based in Halifax. And I think goes without saying, Daniel's our bot of the week.
From the makers he is.
Of Let's take a listen. Comes a motion picture so powerful, critics are calling it not too bad. Right on. Jeremy Taggart, Jonathan Torres, a Dodge Dares, and only 36 hours to get to Tofino. Taggart and Torres, the movie. Right on. Coming soon. I love it.
Yeah, it's a really nice put together clip. It's got some classic Canadianity shots in
like
there.
Le Bon
really nice.
Carnival.
Absolutely, for sure, bot of the week material, definitely.
And
the way that he worded the tweet, this is just something silly I put together. No sweat, bots. Enjoy it if you like. That's Canadianity right there.
It sure is. We really appreciate that, Daniel. It's really fun to watch and exciting to see. I had with my friend Rob had an idea for a show called The Canadian, where the winner gets Canadian citizenship. And it was a celebration of every possible Canadian cliche, because I think sometimes with Bonhomme du Carnival and RCMP and Banff and Wayne Gretzky and Aeroplan Points, I think we kind of roll our collective eyes at these Canadian cliches. But we sometimes do forget that what we take for granted just being Canadian is something that people all over the world move here with the hopes of getting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't take it for granted. It's a big deal.
No. And that's why I sacrificed my bod of the week, by the way. I didn't tell you that.
Well, what's more Canadian than that?
Yes,
us both giving bod of the week to Daniel McDonald.
Yes, and I just felt that the way it came about, we even asked about, we heard some great stories on Twitter about people that are deserving of a possible bot of the week.
Yeah, lots.
There were some really good ones about people that actually do Canadian things, not just helping out people and every day, like a snowbank or getting a car stuck or just kind of, I heard a funny one. I believe a neighbor came over and knocked on someone's door because they saw their door blow the door open in the middle of the night. So they knocked back and the person came to the door and they both said, sorry.
No.
Just like, I want to make sure everything's okay,
bud. Oh,
yeah, bud.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Sorry. Just woke you up in the middle of the night, but everything's okay because we're Canadians.
Generally speaking, cliches are born out of some kernel of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find myself saying sorry all the time.
Absolutely.
Even if I'm being aggressive. Right? If I'm trying to scooch behind someone in the aisle at Sobeys, you say, oh, sorry, bud. I'd rather a sorry than the whispered, excuse me. Sorry, excuse me. You know how people whisper in those environments? Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
I find that creepy.
People, sometimes people don't have loud voices. Like, I have a friend who cannot yell. He just can't.
Like, what happens when he tries?
I've never heard him yell. My friend Alex O'Reilly, probably my best friend on the planet. I've never heard him raise his voice because he can't. Like, he can sing and do stuff like that, but not like yell like hey, yeah! Like, I've never heard him ever do that.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's weird, eh?
Like, is he physically unable?
Yeah. He doesn't know. I can't do it. I don't know why. And he's very smart, intelligent, creative guy. It's just, that's just one thing that's interesting.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's definitely in the thanks.
Jeremy Taggart, last week we did the top five although it was more like top three or four songs to feel in the snow in Canada.
Yes.
I tasked you, with, which is a new verb, with the notion of putting together your playlist for, you know, when Canadians go to, there's a swim up bar and your face is red and it's probably near Cancun and you probably paid $7.99 for the week at 1-866 Wow Deal or one of those getaway for less places.
Yeah.
So let's hear your top five Canadians down south playlist.
Say you're kicking it anywhere from Cancun to Daytona Beach. Whether you went Transat or Air Canada.
Or CanJet.
Or CanJet. Or WestJet. Here's a jam that we can all remember. Sitting in the summertime having a pina colada.
Yeah. Steal My Sunshine.
I banged up with this guy one time, the singer, the little guy.
Costanzo.
Yeah. He had a nice little chalet, and I think it was Kelowna.
I bet he did, yeah.
Where he spent a large portion of the money from the song on.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday
morning. Steal My Sunshine.
Yeah.
Indulging in myself.
They have this tiny motorhouse, probably in Daytona.
My mind will start to release the birds all twisted around.
Saving the budget of the video by recording it in Panama Beach.
I lent Sharon from Len my classical guitar once, and when I came back, the capo was missing.
Good times. Always had a good time with those fellas.
Hey, so here's the...
And lady.
Here's the Nova Scotia tie-in. Corey Bowles,
there
who
is
plays
a big
Corey
one.
On Trailer Park Boys, was in a hip-hop outfit called Hip Club Groove with
That's
a guy
right.
named Derek and a guy named Brian. D-Rock and DJ Moves. D-Rock and DJ Moves were in Len. Stinkin' Rich, who later became Buck 65, was supposed to be in Len, to the point where when the album cover artwork was done, Stinkin' Rich is in the
there.
Artwork, but he ended up not being in the band Len. Crazy.
And it turned out pretty darn good for old Buck, eh?
It turned out pretty darn good for old Buck, yep. He's a very gifted songwriter and performer.
And spoken word artist. I just saw him a few weeks ago in Toronto. He did a nice little piece.
And not unlike yourself, he was quite a baseball player.
He was a very good pitcher.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. Hey, here's a little song that I would say is number four on the list.
Okay, hit me.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Because this band, I mean, talk about a history. The amount of hit songs that this band put out. I mean, you could pick pretty much any of them. But I could see maybe chilling out in Mexico, having a sugary drink.
Northern Pikes.
You're probably going to get a stomach ache anyway because you're bummed out that you're not getting the buzz off of
it. Dug in the Slugs.
Ready?
Yeah, hit me. It's a hot lick.
It's a great riff.
Is it alright? Would have been here tonight. Would have been sweet as wine. Would have been
a
lady.
Tanya, don't worry about it, bud.
Kevin, you want one or two steaks, bud?
Have you seen my visor? Yeah, it's in the garage. Isn't it on the cooler?
I'm drinking 30 beers.
Meanwhile, the neighbors are going, oh, they're at it again, Marg.
Yeah, and there's already a guy having a pee on the lawn.
Yeah, they're at it again, Marg. 11 o'clock in the goddamn morning. They're at it again.
That's it.
I hear ice. They're drinking. It's a great jam.
Okay, so that's a great jam for sure. We're all set there.
April Wine. Hey, Miles from April Wine is doing a real cool thing where he's collecting a bunch of old sneakers and donating them to folks that need it.
Very good idea.
Yeah, good rockers doing good in the world. That's Canadianity, bud.
That is Canadianity. Okay, here's another one. We did use one of this band songs in the soundtrack of the TNT film.
Okay.
And that might have even been a little better fit. But I'm going to go with this one anyway because it's fantastic. A little Skip Prokop on the drums, the guy who actually replaced my dad in the band that he was in with Tony Kolsnack. Went on to form Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And this is One Fine Morning by Lighthouse. Fantastic tune. Bring those horns in. To start a song right here too, no?
So what did she say, Toby? I don't know, she said she thought she was maybe coming. But is she bringing a friend with her? I don't know, she said she might.
I like the Bahamas this time of year.
Hey, do you guys have badminton rackets you can borrow?
Hey, you guys got that golf game where you throw the balls that are on the ropes and they hit the wire? You know what I'm talking about?
Girl, I'll wake up. Sleep from my eyes.
Little lawn darts, bud.
Go outside and feel the sunshine.
Is it true that the beach over by the cove is heated as
I know I'll realize that as long as you love me, girl.
Shirts off, buddy. Mandatory.
Is there anywhere I can start a roll of manatee? You know what I mean?
And on that morning when I wake up,
yeah, that's a very hedonism jam. Hedonism friendly jam.
So where are you guys from? Port Hope. Where are you guys from? Quit me.
Oh my
God. Where
are you fellas from? Hot Manitoba. Where are you fellas from?
The Paw. We should do an episode of TNT from the Paw.
No kidding.
You know what I mean?
Where are you from? Red Deer. Where are you from? Port Hope.
I love the Port Hope.
Me too.
So yeah, a Lighthouse.
Good one. That was number three. What's number two?
One Fine Morning is a classic. Okay, here we go with another one. This one is probably a little more in your ballpark.
Is it Wave Babies by Honeymoon Suite?
Yes.
No.
It is.
It is.
I knew you would like this.
Amazing.
You know I hate it. Yeah, don't do that, because you know that's just going to spell F-U-N.
It was a different time, sure. But I think you can't argue that the chorus is cooking.
Oh, no, it's definitely a popular writ. Formulated rock and roll pop to the T. The album cover with the cocktail waitress or maid putting the bed with the nails on it shaped in a heart.
So good. Like, are those guys wealthy?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I doubt it.
Well, to borrow the title of a Honeymoon Suite song, if those guys aren't wealthy, then what does it take?
Oh, nice.
All right, what's
I think that was one of those, there was a class, that's a classic example of a band that was supposed to break in the U.S. and they did everything, right, including having the label support and everything, and just something didn't go, and it didn't go as big as they thought it would be. And
too bad.
There was a lot of expectancy that didn't resolve.
Too bad.
Here's number one. You ready, Bob?
Yep, hit me. Number one of the Canadians at a Resort top five. Of course.
Of course, right?
The lantern's back.
Yeah, you might even throw some in the luggage. Perhaps string a few around your Costa Rica, as it were.
Have you spent much time with the Kim Mitchells?
Pardon?
Have you spent much time with the Kim Mitchells?
I've met him a few times, one or two, three times. One time we were backstage at the Junos and he came in and he's like, "You guys plow!" That was a pretty classic term. I do believe he was in the audience when we played shows, like the opening for Van Halen in 95.
Did he really say wow?
Oh, yeah, that's one of his famous ways of saying a band rocks.
No.
Plow.
I will never say anything but. That's from now amazing,
on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, you gotta admit, that's got some heavy Canadianity itself saying that. You guys plow!
I'm especially...
And he was, like, wearing a chicken suit or something, yeah. So that took some balls.
He was dressed up like Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Wow.
For sure. Yeah.
I love plow.
Yeah.
Especially if you scotch tape it to someone like Enya. Like, oh, Enya, those guys plow.
And he's not afraid to tell stories about people that have done him wrong.
Like who?
Well, I can't divulge the people's names, but he would say, like, for example, like at the time there was a female vocalist who was very popular, and he's
Banana
like,
"Anna Miles."
She'd sleep with everybody when she came through town. That, and he'd say that where she's from, you know.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that.
Black Velvet. Know what I mean?
Black Velvet. No, Lana Miles, but it wasn't her, but she had her own stories. Remember Robert Plant?
Wait a second.
Had the opportunity to open up for Plant and Page back in 95. Robert Plant himself was dating Lana Miles just before that. So he, or just prior to that time, and he was like, "Oh, Lana Miles, country's not big enough for me and her."
Is that what he said?
That's what he said, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was a definite.
Wait
thanks.
A sec. You know, be brave. Atlanta loves me. That's not about Atlanta Miles, is it?
Who sings that?
Kim Mitchell.
I don't know. I doubt it. I'm just talking about Robert Plant.
I know,
Kim Mitchell.
But I was still stuck on Kim Mitchell, and you saying he was talking about somebody.
He wasn't talking about Atlanta Miles.
Yes,
he was talking about someone else. No, he wasn't. I 100% not. This was a person who was like. Big around the world a little bit later than that.
Celine.
Anyways.
Shania.
Before we start throwing darts at the old Canadian female pop supergroup lords. Forget about it.
I really like that top five. Here's your category for next week. Top five Canadianity songs for when you want to stick it to the man. Like in a job setting.
When you want to just give it to the man, any man, or like corporately?
Well, I think like...
Done by.
I think everybody can relate. You're working a job you don't really like. What is the top five songs for when you've like reached your breaking point? You know what? I'm out of here. Take this uniform back. I'm done.
Is this a song you play on the way home, or is this a song you play to tell them that? There's a two very different feelings.
All right. Well, for me... It's the song that kicks in if your life was a movie.
Yeah.
The moment you quit.
So it's like it gives him positivity, this song?
Yeah.
Or to, yeah, okay.
Like, take this job and shove it. Ba-doodle-a-dweird-it, ba-doodle-a-dweird-it, ba-doodle-a-dweird-it.
But the boys are back in town? That's not a you can take the job and shove it feeling. But you're that would suffice.
Yeah.
Like something rocking.
Yeah. You know what, Corby? I've been working in the stinkhole for 2 years now, listening to you tell me that I suck day in and day out. I am
and then
done.
Run,
Why
and
don't
running with
you
the devil?
Turn me loose.
Turn me loose.
Yeah.
Okay, so containing, it still has to be Canadian then. So we'll keep Canadian bands.
Well, it must be Canadian.
Perfect. All right, well, you threw me out with the boys are back in town.
Hey, great top five. And
thanks, Bob.
Let's take a break and we'll come back. I want to play Fatback. Hang on.
Tidy's calling you Studley.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm all ready for this last little segment. I can't wait to hear this hopefully famous new artist from the East Coast we're about to hear.
This was my favorite song for a year and a half. I can't play Clap Your Turd Cutta, my new J-Rock song, though I've played a little bit of it on the show, because it's the property of Trailer Park Boys Season 9. It's a love song to a shapely posterior. And again,
beautiful.
I can't say who it's about. But I discovered a song a couple years ago by a Nova Scotia rapper named Psycho Skode.
Okay.
And Psycho works out west. Like he's a trades guy and he's also a rapper. He is in this video with a woman named Ben Souza. You'll hear her verse too. But I want to urge people to go to YouTube and watch this video. Fat back is another word for a woman's posterior.
Okay.
P-H-A-T-B-A-C-C. Baby's got a fat back. Now here's what you need to know about the video. Psycho Skode had a lady lined up with a fat back to be in the video, and she didn't show up. So some of the video is shot at a mini putt place. He was able to ask another of the patrons if she was willing to drop it like it's hot in the video for fat back. So the girl dancing in fat back was just playing mini golf. That's her only crime. And here's the best part. From what I've heard, they're still together.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes. Since this video happened.
Yeah. So I'm going to drop a portion of Fat Back. And I know the word is funny, but I think the jam's tight. Take a listen. Baby got a fat back. Whoa, homeboy, hold on, look at that. You know I like that, that back, just that. The way she walk, look like she packed something in that. Baby got a fat back. Whoa, homeboy, hold on, look at that. You know I like that, that back, just that. The way she walk, look like she packed something in that. Baby got a fat back. Wait, homeboy, hold up, look at that. You know I like that. That back, dish stack. The way she walked, look like she packing something in that.
That's pretty classic. It's That's pretty a good great. Chorus.
It's yes. pretty great. Here's a verse. Yeah, back in the club again. Ain't nothing changed about me, cause I'm still thugging. Still smoking, still doing what I do. I'm way in the back, macking on a broad or two. Man, them girls that look real good. They shaking that thing like they should. They can make it bounce round and round. Check out how she do the split to make it touch the ground. Duh, check out the old hub. Girl, yo, it's a large. There are a few things that I love about this video. One is they bleep the word video, bleep the word booty, which is kind of interesting. And the second go ahead.
I like the rhythm of the rapper. He's got great rhythm.
He's great.
It's very rare these days to have rappers that are actually rhythmically strong. Like if you listen to original rappers, they're always. That's why like Big E and Tupac were great because they can flow. You know, that's good rhythm right there.
It's unbelievable rhythm, and I like that it kind of. I know it sounds like we're overanalyzing it, but it kind of tells a story. Like his problem is the women in this bar that he's in aren't dropping it the way he thinks they should. And then this Ben Souza, who's in his posse, I think is a great rapper. Listen to her verse.
Okay. Psych Sizzle got the master plan. So can you break it down for him just a little faster, man? All the girls in the club get low for your cake. This is a song where you gotta shake it like an earthquake. We dip through the crowd, the fans get loud. Ben's got a fat back when her pants come down. And this is a fast track, get your hands up now. You wasn't on the floor, you gon' stand up now. It's a remix, so you know we getting scored up. Everywhere I go, MP getting thrown up. Show enough, it's us with the party bumping. Excuse me, my boy, wanna see you wobble something. Keep it running like you got no brakes on ya. I don't discriminate and won't hate on ya. And even if you got a little weight on ya, show them how the apple bottom jeans will break on ya. Baby, I'm fat back. Isn't it solid. Good? Very great.
It's so earwormy. And I guess mostly the thing that I dig about it is...
It reminds me of old school hip-hop. Yes. Like, I like that stuff. Like, old, like Ice-T and the early NWA records.
He's like, did your mama help you make it that fat? Did she feed you cornbread and pork chops? Like, it has a great sense of humor about it. But really the thing that I dig about it is... These guys are obviously really good at their craft, and they're on the hustle working other jobs to try to get money to record on nights and weekends. I mean, you've been there. If you make your living in the arts in Canada, you already won. But I love coming across people that do it for the love of the craft, because it's not it's not all glamour, man. It's a grind, especially That's in great. The Canadian hip-hop industry.
No, man.
So there you go. Shouts to Fat Back, Ben Souza, and Psycho Skode. P-H-A-T-B-A-C-C. Watch it on the YouTube. Get some views. Send for Fat Back.
Nice.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Who's on your radar? What kind of young up-and-coming bands are you digging?
Well, I mean, Canada is kind of ridiculous right now because all the young and up and coming bands are actually doing well and are popular. You know, you have bands like Brave Shores and Deer Rouge, and obviously there's even super groups that are great, like that Mounties band with Hoxley Workman and Ryan Dahl. I mean, that's I just think the state of music right now is awesome in Canada. The funding that has been going into the last, you know, 10 years of independent music is kind of paying off. You don't just have Arcade Fire. You have, you know, so much depth between the New Pornographers and Hey Rosetta and the Darcys. And just it goes on and on and on. Dan Mangan and Blacksmith, Zeus, Bahamas.
Honey, like, there's so much. Like everybody.
Oh, yeah. You know, Platinum Blonde, you know, great. I can't even go any further.
Platinum Blonde.
Once
is
I say
touring.
That, I start. Oh, for sure, they're always out there.
Yeah,
we did. We had our friend from Helix on. They're still out there.
Yeah.
You want to go see a rock show? You go see Helix.
Yep.
You do that right, you're gonna have a night that you will never forget.
I know. I always try to pin you down on, like, come on. In the circle of honesty, didn't you listen to this? Are there any Platinum Blonde jams that you're like, okay, that's pretty tight?
No. And I know, he's like, this is never going to happen. It's not going to happen on this show, bud.
Like, what about Crying Over You?
And I feel bad because, like, I know the people in those bands. Like, I'm...
What, really? So Sad, Sad Rain has never been the soundtrack to a terrible breakup?
Yeah, I can't say anything because on Twitter I feel like I'm being a jerk because these guys are out there still rocking, but I was never a fan really at the time, but... 30 years later, you kind of, everything just gels from tradition and history, so you just have to be cool. You can't really.
What about Crying Over You when they hit the snare in the rainstorm? Crying.
See, like, I don't. Yeah.
No?
I was more. Yeah, see, I don't like. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't know what you want me to like of that. It's like. I talked about this. Yesterday on Twitter, I was just saying how, like, I was never, like, a drummer who, like, was into guys who did, like, the stick twirling. I could never do the stick twirls.
Why?
Because I just never, it was just something that takes time, that's kind of more of a waste of time and takes you away from what you're working on and more to do with flash and appeal, when the drummers that I dug and the best ones never cared anything about that stuff, like your Bonhams and Mitch Mitchells and Buddy Riches and Gene Krupa and Levon Helm. They never spun their sticks to try and impress people, you know? So I just was never a fan of that. And the drummers that kind of center themselves on that were usually the ones that I wasn't too crazy about. You know, like the
Tommy
Lee.
Yeah, but it's a rock show, not a rock theory.
Well, that's the thing. It's like those kind of bands I wasn't that crazy about. I wasn't into the hair bands in the 80s because it was more about that, you know, fire and explosions and spinning sticks and makeup and hairspray. It's just, it's kind of takes, when that stuff becomes so focal, like Poison and those kind of bands, that it's just, there's just no depth on the other side, like the actual listening to the songs and the honesty and the music and the performance and the identity in the parts. It just becomes more formulated, you know.
And that's why they're barely recognizable when they tour now.
Well, yeah, and it's just the thing, when you're working at back then, it was just kind of, you do what everybody else is doing as opposed to doing something by yourself, you know, like the Tom Waits approach,
right?
It's guaranteed thumbprint, and that's all it is.
Like Tom Waits or like Glass Tiger.
There were artists that flowed through the 80s and 90s and 70s that existed like that, and there were other ones that didn't. You know, there was, think about Fabian in the 50s. There was always some cheese out there, bud.
Always cheese out there, bud. And yeah. Where the cheese is, that's probably where you're apt to find me, bud.
You love a little cheese.
I don't mind.
But you know what?
What?
That's why we're sweet and sour, bud.
That's why we're chocolate and peanut butter, bud.
Sugar and spice, bud.
A Horton's Double Double and a maple cream. It was great to talk to you, as always. And I look forward to next week, our 27th episode. We should dedicate our 27th episode to number 27 on the Edmonton Oilers, Dave Semenko.
Oh, that would be... And it will... It can be another... spectacular extravaganza celebration like we've done about 10 times
maybe
already.
It should be a goonabration.
Oh, a goon, yes.
A celebration of hockey's greatest all-time goons.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll have a segment on goon. Goon-anity.
Goon, but not forgotten.
Oh, my God. There we go.
Talk to you next week, bot.
Night, bot.